Morning Edition continues on 89.1 WEMU with this week's edition of Issues of the Environment. Good morning. I'm David Fair, interrupting Patrick Campion for the next few minutes. Today we're going to talk Michigan's energy future and, in specific, the role of nuclear power. DTE Energy in February received a recommendation from the Nuclear Regulatory Commission that its application for an operating license for the proposed Fermi 3 nuclear plant be approved. As you might expect, not everyone is happy about it and thinks our energy future should be moving in different directions. Among them, our guest this morning. Jeff Allison is environmental engineer from Ann Arbor and volunteers with the group The Alliance to Halt Fermi 3. Now, Jeff has been studying nuclear energy for the past 30 years and brings that perspective this morning to Issues of the Environment. Jeff, good morning and thank you for coming in to WEMU.
Good morning, David. Thanks for having me.
Is part of the crux of your objections to Fermi 3 centered on a desire for more renewables, or is it more on the potential dangers of nuclear energy production and nuclear waste storage?
It's really both. In my opinion, we're at a crossroads in southeastern Michigan. We're going to be retiring some of the old dirty coal plants in the next few years, and we really have this big decision about how we're going to make our electricity for the next 50 years. Is it going to be by building the biggest single nuclear plant reactor in the country, what DTE would call Fermi 3, or is it to invest in wind and solar? And you can't really do both because the type of money you're talking about to build Fermi 3 would be in the order of a minimum of $10 billion, and I suspect based on the historical cost overruns in the industry, probably more like $20 billion. And if that $10 or $20 billion of our ratepayer money is used to build Fermi 3, we won't have any money left to build large amounts of wind and solar capacity. On the other hand, I do believe there is the risk of an accident. You know, just 4 years ago, we saw the major tragedy at Fukushima in Japan. Those plants are all still shut down. We've been lucky in this country not to have an accident of that magnitude.
And I think we've gotten very comfortable with our nuclear energy. I think, we had Three Mile Island, and that was certainly a disaster. But beyond that, we've lived quite well with nuclear energy.
My analysis would be that we've been lucky. I think with both Three Mile Island and several others around the country, we've been very close to a tragic accident. Many people don't even know in the 1960s, Fermi 1, the first DTE nuclear reactor.
It did melt down, but it was contained.
It was contained, but again, we've been very close in this country, so I think we've been lucky, but I think a lot of people have gotten complacent.
Issues of the Environment continues on 89.1 WEMU, and we're talking with Jeff Allison, an environmental engineer and volunteer with the group Alliance to Halt Fermi 3. So President Obama and Governor Snyder have both come out and said all of the above. That's the energy future America needs to look at, and in particular the state of Michigan. All of the above. You're saying that we don't need the nuclear or the coal.
Absolutely. I mean, coal is definitely a non-starter now because of global climate change, which is unquestionably the biggest environmental threat facing the globe over the next 100 years. And I think nuclear is a lousy climate strategy. It does emit less carbon over its life cycle than coal or natural gas. I believe that. But it emits more relative to wind and solar because you have to mine the uranium and enrich the uranium and buy these massive amounts of materials for the plant and decommission the plant when it's done.
Let's look at the result, though. Once operational, it's estimated that the Fermi 3 nuclear power plant would generate over 1,500 megawatts of energy, which I believe would be the biggest single reactor anywhere in the United States.
That's correct.
DTE contends this is the best and the most cost-effective way to generate the necessary amount of energy to meet future demand.
I think they're wrong. There's been study after study showing how expensive nuclear power is. One of the problems here, David, is that the industry is always lowballing the cost projections for how much it's going to cost to build a nuclear plant. The last 100 nuclear plants built in the U.S., not a single one of those plants was built on budget. Fermi 2 was originally estimated to cost, by DTE, $229 million in the late 1960s when they first made that projection. It ended up costing $4.5 billion. That's a 2,000% cost overrun. Forbes magazine, and the last 100 plants all had big cost overruns. Forbes magazine, which is a business magazine, back in the 80s, looked at that history and called the U.S. nuclear power industry the biggest managerial failure in U.S. business history. And they said only the blind or the biased would think that that money was well spent. And all the studies now that project into the future say that wind and solar will be cheaper than nuclear power, and it's unquestionably safer than nuclear power, and it unquestionably gives you more carbon reductions than nuclear power. Last thing I want to say on this is 30 years ago when I first got involved, a lot of people didn't think you could build a reliable electric system around wind and solar. But now the research in the last decade has shown that you can do that with a more sophisticated electric grid that can transport electricity over longer distances, because if the wind isn't blowing here one day, it's probably blowing out in Texas that day. You can plan for when solar is coming in and out. If you have a really hot day, you can store the extra electricity so you can use it at night. Germany is now committed to get 80% of its electricity from wind and solar by 2050, and there's been studies by MIT, Stanford, and the U.S. Department of Energy saying the U.S. could do that as well.
This is 89.1 WEMU. Once again, we're talking with Jeff Allison this morning, and Jeff is an environmental engineer, has been studying nuclear energy for 30 years, and is now volunteering with the group the Alliance to Halt Fermi 3. Now, DTE has met the required 10% renewables energy demand and is producing 1,000 megawatts of power, primarily through wind at this point. Realistically, how much more can be generated through wind and solar, too, without dramatically changing our state landscape, particularly in the case of wind turbines? It's become a not-in-my-backyard kind of issue, and certainly there's loud objections to placing turbines offshore in the Great Lakes. So where is the compromise and the solution there that would allow for the power generation you're talking about?
Well, that is one of the factors, and I have some friends, for example, who don't want to see wind turbines in their view. In my opinion, wind turbines are a very elegant solution, and if it's a choice for me between having, tens of thousands of wind turbines in Michigan or several nuclear power plants, for me, that's an easy choice. DTE just doesn't want to tell its ratepayers about its plans to seriously consider building Fermi 3. You had a guest on your show just a couple of months ago from DTE, Steve Kermes, and to your credit, you asked him several questions about Fermi 3, and he wouldn't even respond. He wouldn't mention that they spent $100 million on the planning. He wouldn't mention that it might cost $10 or $20 billion to build the plant. He just wants the decisions to be made behind closed doors. I want to get those decisions out in the public, and I recognize that a few people may say, hey, I'd rather have one nuclear plant than 10,000 wind turbines, but let's at least educate the public, explain the choices, and get that decision out into the public dialogue. Today, it's all being done behind closed doors.
We've talked about some tremendous figures. It's so far over our head to think about $20 billion. But if we break it down as ratepayers, what's it going to cost each of us in the state of Michigan to build and pay for Fermi 3?
If Fermi 3 is built, I've done the calculations, it will cost every DTE family or household between $5,000 and $10,000 up front just to build the plant. And that doesn't even count operating the plant and decommissioning the plant and all the other costs. So I don't think people realize what a big financial decision this is affecting their families' pocketbooks.
Well, as you've mentioned, $100 million has been spent already on the planning of Fermi 3. Should a Fermi 3 come to pass, it's 15 to 20 years away. So what, in your estimation, is the point of no turning back? Have we already reached it?
No, I don't think we have, David. Public realize that there's a role for them. They should be involved. This is their money. We all pay DTE every month, and we should have a say in how that money is invested. And again, my major point is, especially for folks like me who care about the environment, there's a choice here. We're either going to build Fermi 3 or we're going to make a major commitment to wind and solar. And I think more environmental people need to take a stand and let their voices be heard.
Jeff, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you, David.
That is Jeff Allison. Jeff is an environmental engineer from Ann Arbor and is a volunteer with the group Alliance to Halt Fermi 3. I'm David Fair, and we thank you for joining us for this week's edition of Issues of the Environment. This weekly feature is produced in partnership with the Washtenaw County Environmental Health Division. It's heard only on 89.1 WEMU.